Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Joker continues to dominate the box office and foil any other Joker's hopes of getting on screen. We have a Wonder Woman trailer date, and who watches The Watchmen? Millions of people, that's who! Today and much more on DC Movie News!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talks, DC.
It's a little smaller than a medium, so it just, I have to, I can only wear it on days where I feel like I can lean.
I've seen this whole saga happen from behind me, like on Twitter, so to see that reveal.
It's still not as big. Hey, what's up, everybody? Look who's here. We're just talking about the saga of my trying to find the pop proper Connor Superboy t-shirt.
And long quest.
I mean, that was just the most epic intro. We all just needed a second to,
I just wanted to absorb
like,
it. I mean, I felt,
you know,
that
I got
was phenomenal.
I got the idea when my 3-year-old nephew, when I was wearing this shirt at a Jewish holiday party, he kept ripping open the shirt because of the snaps. I'm like,
yeah.
He gets it. He gets it.
And
I'm like,
I didn't know you didn't reveal it before, so we got to experience it.
We were all like, oh, snap.
I can't do this as a prize.
Well, I'm very excited to be here with two big, big DC fans. If you watch anything anywhere online, if you've seen this show before, you know who I'm talking about. I'm here, of course, with the lovely Elena Jordan.
Aw, hey, that's me. I'm here.
And returning, he was just here a few weeks ago, but I was not here. Mr. Coy Jandro is here.
Good to be back. Very excited about today's content.
Formerly host of Popcorn Talk's Marvel show.
Yeah.
And they just celebrated 250 episodes.
And I would have been there, but I was with Damon Lindelof.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Let me just pick up that name you dropped.
Does it tie into all the Watchmen things? It does, but also Damon Lindelof.
It certainly does. And that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to have Coy on the show, because Watchmen debuted this week. We've been talking about it. It's not a movie, but it kind of is. I mean, let's be honest. So we're going to reserve a good amount of time to talk about Watchmen. Join us here in the chat room if you're joining us live. We're on Popcorn Talk Network on YouTube, DC Movie News. Ryan's in the booth. How are you doing today,
What's
sir?
What's going on? Excited to talk Watchmen. I am hosting the after show for Watchmen.
We're plugging so early.
We're plugging a lot, but yes. Really excited. We got three awesome titans in the studio today.
By the way, still not the exact same shirt he had on the show, Titans. I mean that shirt, it's just so weird to me. That's like, you would think that DC Universe would just like put that in. It's the character happens to have a t-shirt as his costume.
It's the thing to sell.
It's the easiest thing to sell.
It should be
one-to-one.
In the app. You should be able to click, watch the hosts, watch the read comics, click a button for that.
Because I'll tell
right
you,
there.
This is okay, but this ain't official. I can feel it. The quality is not
the
same.
It may not be Titans, but it's still pretty tight.
It's freaking tight. Oh! And that's why we pay Elena Jordan the pun bucks. She is a leading pundit.
I like that one.
First, we got to talk about... We always start off talking about Joker, which I finally saw for a second time with my girlfriend. And I loved it. I loved it the second time. Like, going into it, I'm like, am I really into it a second time? And sure enough, I was. Because I had things to watch for that I wanted to be more clear on.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you seen it?
Three.
Trace.
Three. Yeah.
So you've still seen it more than me.
I like that movie a lot. I saw it on Thursday opening night. I missed the press screening. I was a Burning Man, which is a different type of crazy. I immediately got back and was like, oh no, everyone I know has seen it. And then I had to wait those 3 weeks that we all did for like the regular release. So I immediately bought tickets for Thursday midnight and the Saturday. I was already like pressed for two. Fell in love, saw it again last week. It gets better every time because I notice more details.
Did you answer questions that you had questions to, like, or do you think the movie still leaves things for you to decide. Like, I found some things and I'm like, okay, I think the movie is giving me a conclusion on this. And then other things, I'm like, all right, that's still up to interpretation.
The first time I watched it, I thought it was pretty clear that we were not supposed to know if Zazie was...
Just a potential spoiler out there.
It made $1 billion. Okay. Potential spoiler.
Just saying, potential spoiler.
Potential spoilers.
For the next 5 minutes, there will be Joker spoilers dropped on the ground.
If you don't want to hear about Zazie, then just take a beat.
Five minutes. I saved everyone.
Thank you for saving my Twitter for the week.
No problem. Go ahead.
Spoiler potential, if Zazie was killed or not. So there was,
that's what I thought too.
And I thought that was intentionally vague, but then I watched it the third time and realized he made it very clear that people that didn't wrong him survived.
And then that so was then actually confirmed by the cinematographer this week. I don't know if you saw it. Yeah. Because after the second time, I was sure he killed her. Because I'm like, he's walking proud. And then my buddy was like, but he does say that he doesn't kill this guy, and that's afterwards.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think you're totally right.
I think he and I love the interpretation that you could go either way. And I like that the cinematographer said one thing, but you can either still be like, I don't agree.
Okay, one more thing, and this might be a little out there. Does the Murray Franklin show actually happen?
Yes.
Okay.
I would argue the whole movie might not happen.
Okay. There's a lot that might not happen.
When he's like smacking his head in
the
glass.
The very end, because of the way that it ends, it is set up in a way that it's like, it could be the whole, but anything that ends the way where it's like, and it was all in their head. Be sucker punch or be nothing. Like, well, I'm like, don't do this.
Like, I feel like with
be sucker punch or be nothing.
The killing of the therapist really paints a picture to me of like, he's murdered. He'll murder again. So I feel like it did happen. And without the Murray show, you wouldn't get the ending. Like, he wouldn't have gone on that, like, you know, clown tirade. So I feel like it had to have happened.
Which clown tirade?
The one where he like rallies the other, like when he gets hit by the car.
Or
the other
did
jokers.
That happen? That's another thing I saw. Did that not happen?
The thing
happen?
Is, after watching it, so yeah, after watching it so many times, I feel like I have kind of a different view because I didn't love it as much as
okay, but
else.
You still saw it as
but
many times.
I saw it. Yeah,
I
went to the premiere. I went to the press screenings. And then I went and got a ticket after as well. But after seeing it, I mean, there are several things, and I wrote a whole like review of it, so I'm not going to go into like everything, but
which you can find if you want to look at
your if you
want to
check
online.
It out, you can check it out at MEAWW Media Entertainment Arts Worldwide.
Great. All right, but, we're done spoilers. Done.
Yeah.
We're
done.
No more spoilers.
I don't know. I feel like the cinematography was brilliant. I feel like the writing was brilliant. As far as looking at the movie as a whole, I think it was very well executed. But there are things, especially with the timing of the release, that I think are problematic. There are definitely elements that I think, you know, I don't want to say that it shouldn't have been made, but there's definitely elements when you set something up with a precursor of this is our hero because he has the same basic origin of like a Spider-Man at the beginning of this is the person who is being unjustly
but goes a different way and this is the important thing. This is the sliding doors thing. It's like if you have the same origin, do you go left, do you go right? I just want to say finally, it's been critiqued by a lot of real like film nerds about how derivative it is and this and that, but I've heard the reaction from a couple of people that are close to me that are not big comic book people and not as like devotees of the Scorsese's and the Coppolas and all this that were so affected by the movie. Someone that had a history of someone very close to me who was in a halfway house for a while because of addiction, and just another good friend, and they were so affected by the movie, and it just kind of made me think about how a film can affect you if you're not bringing all this other baggage into it. Now, how effective it is, like, it's, and it made me think about how fair is it to bring, whether it's derivative or not, if you're not familiar with what it's derivative of, you know, like
I'm a big proponent of like I don't give a shit about it being 2019. I want to see movies. I'm so sick of us like quantifying everything with this sensitivity. Personally, so I really enjoyed.
Yeah, but it's also like you're not being targeted by these things.
Everyone's being targeted.
So
everyone's
like
mad at everyone. The internet is just angry.
I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, guys. I do want to mention the fact that this movie is going to profit as much as Avengers Infinity War.
Wow. For DC, this is huge. The success of it is
right. So whether you like this particular film or not, what does this say to you guys about the way that they're going to continue making these films? We know that there's a lot of films in development, but we also know that they're greenlighting when they want to greenlight. So what do you guys think this will mean, just, you know, briefly for the future, the next slate, outside of, we already know what 2021 is looking like, but beyond that, and maybe other small films, what do you think?
I mean, the fact that it had a smaller budget and they were apprehensive somewhat at the beginning, it's kind of the same thing that we've seen a few different times. Like, I mean, we saw with Deadpool, the kind of a similar thing, where it's like, it completely blows away the expectations
which then I think is a good thing in that it benefits the filmmakers directly.
Yeah.
Because any time that the studio gives more trust to their directors and they have more faith in it and they don't pick part things like we saw with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you would have just let Patty Jenkins do her thing, the things
all three
that we, yeah, all three. If you had just been like, look, we're not going to fight you on the third.
Yeah.
You can have all three, not just the first two.
Can you imagine the A+ that could have, because it's an A.
Exactly.
But the A+ it could have been.
Exactly. And so I feel like the good thing, the best thing, I personally feel that it's going to come from this movie, is that it's going to set a precedent that regardless of if you agree with that director and their stance and even some more controversial things, like him even saying, if I had not put the Joker, the comic book label on it, I would not have been able to make this movie in the current environment. And you even have kind of controversial things like that. Having the studio have full faith in their directors and back them, I think, is always a good thing, because if you have one clear person with a clear vision, that vision is going to be more easily expressed.
I agree with all of that, and think that the smaller, more contained budgets are really a benefit for this type of movie, because if everything just keeps getting bigger and bigger, everything can't be an Avengers movie. We need to have things be smaller, contained movies. So I'm really glad. I said on Heroes that I feel like Logan chopped down the trees for this type of movie, but this paved the road. So now it's not going to be a studio being like, eh, Logan was a fluke. Now we have a giant example and another contained example
Logan,
of like, maybe
Deadpool,
these types.
This
you know
movie,
what I mean? Like, there's now cumulative effect of like, no, this is what people want. It's not just a oneer. So to me, this doing all of that money off a budget that's like a catering budget.
Yeah, I think that is all true. I will also say that this kind of ties into that idea, you know, I don't want to go down another huge rabbit hole, but all the comments made by the filmmakers about what is cinema, what is not. I think, you know, this reminds me of growing up. I read comic books, and some people thought comic books are not literature, okay? Some people think soap operas, like All My Children, is not real television. Like, you know.
Yeah, but it's also like these are the same people. Scorsese, who are crapping on Netflix until their movie is picked up by Netflix, and then now it's the savior for cinema.
Did
so
you
I'm
see
like,
Scorsese's
I'm sorry.
Today?
Yeah.
And he was like, it's different cinema.
Here.
I'm like, bro.
Get out of here. You were like with Spielberg, rah, 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 no Oscars for the streaming. No Oscars for the streaming. Now my movie
exactly.
is, it should get an Oscar.
But can
I'm
I also
Scorsese.
Say, from our perspective, like as journalists, like we've all done red carpets, we've all done junkets, we've all sat down with these filmmakers. In what world do you have 10 minutes with Martin Scorsese and you keep grilling him on Marvel movies? He's done so much cinema. Why would you waste
it's
minutes
true, it's
of
true.
Time?
It's true. You really like, need to focus more on the people asking these questions than these guys' opinions.
But I mean, some of it, too, I'm just like, with a lot of these, even Todd Phillips, I'm like, guys, just make your good movies and shut your mouth.
Just go to that
just
island
shut
you
your
bought.
Mouth.
Just please.
Don't say when somebody says, do you feel an importance of including more female or diverse characters? Say, stop asking me this. This is a waste of time. Just don't say anything.
But to bring this back to DC, if I can, I do like the fact that Marvel is giving me the soap opera thing that was the crack for me as a kid. Listen, this is how they got my money. The same thing they're doing now, which I, as an adult, love watching because I read Incredible Hulk. It ended in an issue where it was continued in Iron Man. Now I'm reading Iron Man. Then the Hulk fights the Thing. Now I'm reading Fantastic Four. This is exactly what they're doing. And this is how they got my lawn mowing money as a child.
Yeah,
so
man.
To me, I get it. I see their point, but I'm like, I like the soap operas. I like the candy. I like this. I like these emotions. But I like the fact that DC can make a film like Joker and that we now have. I like the fact that we're not going to try to ape this continuity that a Marvel set up and we can have it all because I'm going to all. Because
Aquaman can be the big shiny thing that it is and then Joker can be the dark gritty thing that it is and Wonder Woman can be her own thing by going to 1984 inexplicably. I really like that we're not trying
They're
to
like,
do.
They're like, hey man, it
I
did
want
it.
This.
American Horror Story did it. That's the year Orson Welles called. It.
Oh yeah,
make
I
that
know.
Move.
just be Deadpool.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, did it really?
Yeah. It's gonna pass the Deadpool.
Did we look at this Ryan Reynolds tweet? Did you put that up there?
The single greatest congratulatory
this is the
message.
Best, I think I.
So Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool. He just gave a congratulations to Joker's box office, and it was signed by. Can you guys
we
see
got
who's
Deadpool,
up there?
Neo,
Pennywise,
Jesus, and Hugh Jackman.
That's
and what do those guys have in common?
I believe they make R-rated masterpieces.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Oh, by the way, is anyone... How come nobody... I hate to get back to it, but, like... And I know it's not a Marvel movie, but isn't, like, Last Temptation of Christ, like, an awesome superhero movie?
Have best superhero movie.
It's a great superhero movie. Okay,
Kevin Smith's statement about, like, that Jesus, Martin Scorsese made the ultimate superhero movie, but then so did Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Like, the big R-rated superhero is Jesus.
I still didn't see the Mel Gibson one because I heard it was such a dirge, but
all
I really
I
liked
can
the
think
the other
is
one.
Preacher when Jesus literally kills Hitler, and I'm like, anytime we talk about Jesus as a DC character, I think of him as the actual DC character from Preacher.
Superpowers, gritty origin story, team-ups. Jesus does some stuff, you guys.
I'm
JC, DC, task.
So speaking of things that Joker is destroying, we're getting a lot of inside dope.
This is my favorite transition ever.
Jared Leto was none too happy about the production of the Joker movie, and that his iteration, and I don't think this would really surprise too many people. I know a lot of people suspected this, but that his iteration of the Joker is likely done. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously is. He even said if nobody liked his Joker, then he was going to go live in a cave somewhere, and then he banked on it because now he has an island that he's the leader of a cult. So
does he have an island?
Yeah, Jared Leto is a cult, and he's not even doing the cult right.
Yeah,
everybody who's
really
in the
cult
is like, you're not even running this cult right, man. Like,
it's
a
fire festival of cults.
Yeah,
it's not long until the first time hearing about Leto's cult.
Really?
John will be a disciple before year's end.
He basically was like, look, man, if Chloe from Smallville can do it.
That
I
is
can
true,
do it.
Yeah. Well, it didn't end well for her.
No, it didn't.
The Jared Leto is always interesting because he's such a specific figure of, like, dressing like, you know, Jesus and like, leading these auditoriums of people. But then he speaks in an actor sense. Like, he's kind of, like, playing it both ways. Like, the rock star, movie star thing. And I don't want to... I don't know him. I don't want to disparage anyone, but, like... I always feel like he thinks he's above the studio system or above whatever property.
He thinks he's above everything.
And that's a really tricky thing
as an
actor.
He tried to hook up with me when I was 16, fact.
Oh, hey now.
See, I've never had that relationship with Mr. Leto.
And then literally had to be like, no, I'm 16, and then still fought. I'm like, Jared Leto's been sketchy for a while. That was a long
time ago. So you were literally 30 seconds from Mars?
Yes, it was at the 30 Seconds to Mars concert. And then he tried to pass me off on his brother, and I was like, I'm still a teenager.
I think no one should be above the studio system, and I think that I've never been in that position, so I can't speak on Jared Leto.
What do you guys think?
I also was not in that position. Let me just go ahead and specify.
Yes, you never was in that position. What do you guys think this means for our next iteration of Joker? Because I want to kind of put these two things together. One, there have been rumors, but when a movie makes like $1 billion, makes this much profit, the idea of sequel talk has got to be there. So first I want to hear... Do you guys think they would do a sequel to Joker? And then if not, what does that mean for an iteration of Joker in the Pattinson Batman thing that's going on now? Because clearly we have a big hit and we know from, you know, what we've been told by everyone that they have no plans to cross this over with Pattinson, which I believe. I take that. And I think tonally that would be a mess. But
it wouldn't work.
You don't walk away from a profitable movie like this when you did it so well. So what do you guys think? First, Coy, what do you think about a sequel? What is this three?
Three-pronged attack.
Okay, tell me.
One, Joker 2. If Joaquin Phoenix has already said he'd be playing that role right now if they'd let him. He said him and Todd Phillips didn't want to stop filming. He wants to go play. Plus, Joaquin Phoenix was so happy. He got to make his version of a character that made money.
He gets to dance a hell of a lot
in
this
movie. But, like, imagine the freedom as an actor to be playing this type of role forever in movies that didn't make money. And now he's suddenly like, wait, I can do the same thing, throw on some makeup and make all the money and people love it. Like, he got to do The Master but for profit. So I think
that's... The Master was so good.
It's so good that no one saw it. Like, that's the thing is, this is the perfect...
You're right.
He got to make a McDonald's advertised gourmet burger. Like, the McDonald's did all the advertising, but he got to make the gourmet.
You're like, if McDonald's would have carried one of my hot dogs,
That's what I'm saying. I want the food analogy for you. Imagine, like, you got the Happy Meals from the McDonald's market. So, I think that's happening. Two, I think DC Black Label is now going to be very, very fast-tracked with, like, I think a Mr. Freeze movie would be great, like an epic romance, like a sweeping Nicholas Sparks romance turning into a third-act villain movie.
The only thing is, with Mr. Freeze, I'm like, now does it really work? Because Batman seems like kind of a dick, where you're like, you're a billionaire that could have helped out this man's
wife. Punching that man that wants to to say, like, well, that's what would be interesting. Like, imagine if he's the more anti-hero.
I had this idea. I had this idea. If you continue with this unreliable narrator, and this might be the worst idea ever, but like the Joker's perception of what Batman is the Batman as we know him with the cape and cowl and everything, but the actual Batman is not.
That'd be fun.
He's just Bruce, and he's like,
I don't know. He's a cop or he's something. Yeah. He's some demon that he's created.
There's like a bat outside his window, and he just sees Bruce's face on it.
Something, yeah, kind of in the Scarecrow, you know, realm.
Also,
I don't know.
Shout out to Ricky Middlesworth in the chat. He's joining us right now. So.
Ricky's here. Ricky's in the chat. He was actually on the show with us last week.
He's chiming in about Jared Leto and
what
how
is he saying?
He's just saying he thinks it was a mistake casting and that he's heard, you know, all these stories about maybe the footage they cut out of the film was unusable. And maybe that cast bit themselves in the butt.
Really? You don't think that sending dead pigs and used condoms to your co-stars is an indicator of brilliance?
We're getting a lot of chiming in on the chat roll. If they do Joker 2, Xeno Hour says
we still
they
have a third
pull.
Part.
We're almost there.
Oh, your third prong attacked.
And also, I agree with the live chat, Xeno Hour. I love White Knight. What I think they should do with a Joker 2 is have the unreliable narrator of Harley Quinn be in the hospital with him and Harley be his doctor, and he's trying to woo Harleen by telling these extravagant stories of his history.
Oh my God.
It's an unreliable narrator by way of trying to hit on Harley. So he's falling in love with Harley. That puts the woman in control instead of him in control. Instead of her wooing him, he's wooing her.
I want to see a dark Harley story, honestly.
Like,
because
she's
I feel
a manipulative
like hers
nurse.
Is more, if you read like all the comics going all the way back to Mad Love and then through,
yeah.
But it's like, but it's this would be the story that you could tell.
And there's like four Harley comics right now. She's so hot. Right now.
Elena, you know Margot Robbie's got that character
yeah,
right
they're
now.
They're not
going to
do another one
that.
Because they're like, Margot can do whatever. I mean, they already are like, look, you can buy her jacket for $200 at Hot Topic, and everybody's already wearing it.
Pink Taco
and it's 98
Bell,
degrees out here.
Pink Taco sure. Bell in the chat room says, we need a Sandman movie. Pink Taco Bell, Neil Gaiman is working on the Netflix long-form version of that. I'm confident that's in good hands right now.
100%.
Sandman is in good hands. Don't you worry. We don't need a movie. That is the right call for that. Next, I want to talk about Batman. Let's talk. All this talk about villains. Let's talk about Batman. Okay, so while we were doing the show last week, it was started to be reported, and I'll just reiterate: Michael Giacchino is no surprise again. He kind of gets all the gigs. Is doing the music for the Batman. How do we feel about that? Yes, you.
I'm ecstatic. I'm more excited about this than any of the other casting news, and I freaking love me some Kravitz, and I love me some Pattinson. Coco, like, jeez, come on, man. The Incredibles, though. This is when I lost it. The music for The Incredibles and The Incredibles 2.
The score on that movie.
Oh, yeah, that was
great.
Oh,
my God, it's so good. I cannot wait. I honestly will watch this movie multiple times. One of them will probably be just without even watching it and just listening to it.
But you're telling me you're going to see the Batman more than one time? I find that very hard
I know,
to
it's
like,
weird.
Before you've even seen a trailer? Come on.
Like, didn't like the Joker, saw it thrice. Loves Batman 8 times.
I will never see the Batman. I refuse to see things I love.
Only listens.
Along with
I'm
that,
so
yeah, so we have Michael Giacchino. We have the, the effects, the effects supervisor, same as the Apes movies.
Yes.
Right, which,
I mean,
come on.
They're not monkeying around.
Well, how are you feeling about this, Coy? This the Batman. Big risk for...
I think that the Batman is going to be what DC moves forward from. I think that's where they're going to start their new shared universe. I think Wonder Woman and this new The Batman will start to form a new thing.
Great. That ties me into my next subject here. Does the Batman's existence confirm two ongoing... When I say... universes. I mean universes where we're going to build and have multiple films that connect. Because you could say Joker's its own universe, this, that. When I say universe, do you think that the Batman is confirming that we were going to have at least two sort of DC continuities?
Yeah.
Is that weird?
Yeah, definitely. Because
DC Black Label and regular.
I don't think that that's
weird
at all.
Then. You Black Label, then you're saying that the Batman is falling into the Black Label?
No, I'm saying Joker's Black Label.
Right.
And that'll be that own
But then what about the world where you have Momoa and Gal Gadot?
But look at DC TV, too. I mean, it's like they have so many different... I mean, if you can
cinematic,
have Titans...
Cinematic, though. I'm talking about cinematic universes.
I know,
cinematic
I'm saying,
universes,
like,
yeah.
DC, because... In general, it's different than Marvel. They don't all have to be connected. I think this is definitely a clear this is going to be Joker. It is going to be completely separate. Robert Pattinson and Joaquin are never going to be on screen together.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Do you see a world, Coy, in which that you introduce a Superman in the Batman universe that is not existing in the same world as the Wonder Woman?
I think they're going to soft reboot. I think we're going to keep Aquaman because it did well. I think we're going to keep Wonder Woman because it's incredible. And yeah. I think we're going to soft reboot everything else. Shazam's going
to
live.
Are we eventually going to use this Flashpoint thing to bring everything together?
I don't know if the Flash movie's going to exist in the next 5 years. Like, it's the most stop-start I've ever seen a movie.
I think they pulled it.
Yeah. You think so?
I think, yeah. Because
the last we heard was...
Because it was going to be their restart. Yeah. I think it was their restart button.
But most recently, we heard that the director of It...
Is excited.
Is into it.
Yes.
And that's his next project.
I don't think it's Ezra Miller. I think it's going to be that director doing a movie in 4 to 5 years with the new Flash.
Okay.
I think he's excited.
Impossible.
Ezra Miller...
Chat roll, I need you to chime in on that.
I've got nothing
guys.
Against Ezra Miller. I've got nothing against the DC universe. I've got nothing against Zack Snyder's universe at all. But Ezra Miller tried to make one movie with a different set of directors, tried to make another movie with a different set of directors, tried to write a movie with Grant Morrison, and then I feel like Ezra Miller's thrown a lot of spaghetti at the wall. Nothing has been what DC wanted. And now with all the success, I think it's going to be a slow evolution out of that. But I don't know, and I know every Snyder
Ricky Middlesworth. Ricky Middlesworth, our friend, thinks the Matt Reeves verse is going to stay contained within Gotham, which I think is fine. But then, Ricky, and I'm talking to you directly. Do you then have a world in which you have Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and no Batman? What? You know what I'm saying? Like, if in one hand, we're talking about how it's great that they go in all their own direction. Mm-hmm. But then, like, you think about, like, well, if they're kind of connected, I still need all these things to fit together in a way. And it is kind of strange.
I think that they'll make it fit, but it will be, I mean, a lot more disjointed because they're not trying to be Marvel. They're trying to do their own independent things. And if it's working, which clearly it is, then I think that they're not going to break what. Or they're not going to try to fix what ain't broke.
And if you just look at who's working on these films, you've got Momoa actively working on Aquaman 2. Mm-hmm. You've got Wonder Woman 84 actively coming out. You've got the Batman. I think Henry Cavill being so quiet worries me because I love him as Superman.
He's done.
And we know
he's done.
And we know Batfleck out. So I think that naturally the Batman will be the new Batman for the universe that gets to stay.
And not only am I sure he's done, but I do think he's going to show up in a Marvel movie really soon. I love the Captain Britain rumor. I think that is the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, I would love that. I'd take that in a heartbeat.
That's a character that I never read a lot, but I always thought had one of the greatest costumes in all of comics. Like, the Captain Britain outfit is just amazing. I would love to see, like, just a big yoked jack kind of thing. Anyway.
I want to ask you, though, because I got to interview Josh Blacker, who's in C with Jason Momoa.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he said the big thing he wants to do is play Lex Luthor, because he looks like Lex Luthor. And with Jason playing Aquaman and now his stepdaughter playing Catwoman, it's like this is his big thing that he's like, get me in the DC universe. What would you guys think of seeing him, having a new Lex Luthor? I'm super into it. I like this idea.
I don't know about Lex Luthor, but I do know we are getting a Maxwell Lord, another kind of like character like that. So we knew that this was a possibility. It's been confirmed that Pedro Pascal is playing Maxwell Lord. Now, a little brief history on this character. This is a character that was introduced in the 80s who was kind of a dick, not Grayson.
I like that.
But not necessarily a bad guy. He was kind of like the money guy or the front guy kind of for the Justice League, Justice League International, all this. Later on, he's retconned and he's kind of like a big bad. He's got psychic powers. Mm-hmm. And I think in the most recent iterations, he's got like psychic powers. So, what kind of Maxwell Lord do you think we're going to get? Oh, also, I don't know if this is a clue, Wonder Woman 1984 takes place when?
1984!
Exactly, and that's when Maxwell Lord's character came about. So, what do you think we're going to get, or 87 really, but in the 80s, where do you think we're going to get with this Maxwell Lord character, Pedro Pascal, who's the Mandalorian and the Narcos dude and so many other great things?
I mean, I'm not even sure what we're going to, I'm excited. I think that it's going to be good. But I don't know what the specifics are going to be because they've been keeping everything so under wraps.
Very much so.
I like the idea of him as a businessman that uses his psychic powers to manipulate the stock market because the 80s was so like that heavy. So I'd love to see him
would be dope.
Him manipulating businesses with
like
his
Wolf
abilities.
Of Wall Street,
yeah, like Wolf of Wall Street meets Xavier. Like I want to see that movie. So if you have a very cunning, brilliant man use his powers for pure evil and profit, that'd be something Wonder Woman to go out against.
Yeah.
We're getting a trailer, I think, or at least the trailer is debuting at a Comic-Con on December 8th. Do you guys know which Comic-Con that is?
December 8th, there's a Comic-Con?
Ryan, it's not within the Comic-Con company, but it's a convention. It's a convention.
But it has to be big if they're debuting a Wonder Woman trailer at it.
I would think so. So I'm assuming we're going to get that trailer, like, that day. Which is, oh my God, it still feels so long away, but it's just a little bit more than a month away.
Next week's November.
That is crazy. It will be at Brazil's Comic-Con.
Brazil.
We are like
Wait a minute, Brazil is also going to do huge. Because they're doing Harley Quinn, because they just did the whole big announcement where they said it in all the different languages. They're like, look how diverse we are.
Brazil was the big Venom reveal,
Harley
all that
Quinn,
stuff.
Meaning the animated series?
No, the Birds of Prey. Yeah, the emancipation of one...
Harley Quinn, yes, yeah. Birds of Prey.
Because they had all of the ladies basically saying, what up, Brazil? We're coming and we're going to show you some stuff. And they were saying it in all of their different languages.
Right. It says it's at Comic-Con XP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brazil. CCXP.
CCXP. Cool. And in Brazil on December 8th.
That's soon.
Yeah, that's very soon.
It's like 10 weeks to the end of the decade, guys.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Don't even say these words to me.
We're almost back in the swinging 20s.
Casey Nwaneri, you don't think that Kevin Feige wants the drama that comes with Cavill? What drama? Henry Cavill was like the best company guy.
Yeah, he's the nicest in the world.
He was beating the drum of DC.
Maybe he means because his agent is also one of the producers that works on
that
all of the different
thing.
I think that it's basically
that drama.
Yeah, I think it's because his agent was one of the producers on Shazam and was kind of the reason that he wasn't seen because it was kind of a push to get his last appearance.
I started playing Witcher because Superman is gonna be the Witcher.
Yeah, dude, Henry Cavill's fantastic.
I have to say too, if you guys are on PlayStation Network, if you play PlayStation, the Halloween sale right now is dope and they have several Batman titles and I bought all of them, including VR.
On sale?
$8 for the Batman VR right now.
Okay, I'm gonna do. I know what I'm doing today.
You need the VR thing.
Yeah, if you don't have VR,
I don't have the VR thing. But they also have
the regular games too. I've just gotten so into VR because it makes me feel like I'm Batman.
Well, we were gonna talk about this in a little bit, but I will mention another rumor is that the WB Montreal game that they've been working on is rumored to be Arkham Legacy, and apparently you're gonna be able to play as the whole Bat family.
Except for, but does that mean Cassandra Cain? Because they haven't said, and I'm like,
they haven't
just
said
the
who
voice?
That entails. No,
is
no,
it
no,
just
no,
the
no,
voice?
There's no. No.
No, you're gonna have Catwoman in there. You're gonna have Barbara. I'm sure.
Huntress might be in there. She's
really popular right now.
If
you played Injustice 2, Black Canary is the most dope. So.
Yeah, and they don't ignore those things. Yeah. Like when you're designing a game and one does really well, you're not like, but just dudes.
It made me so happy though because so many people I've loved Black Canary for forever, and they were finally, like, I don't really know her, and they're like, she's so dope on Injustice 2, and I was like, yeah, it's my girl.
I feel like there's gonna be a Black Canary.
Dinah Drake, not Dinah Lance. Let's pick the right one.
I'm just wondering if anybody has any, if there's any rumors as to when that's going to be released, but I'm sure it's still far away off.
Yeah, they haven't announced
it. Games take longer to make than movies, man. They take a long time.
I think they'll probably announce it at the Video Game Awards because they typically have those near the end of the year, and that's when they typically do their big announcements. So I think they'll probably have it then.
We have some reports from the set of The Suicide Squad. Man, 2021 is going to be a big year for DC movies, isn't it?
It's nuts.
This movie's been filming for a few weeks. It comes out after the Batman, which is still kind of weird to me that like Batman hasn't started rolling cameras and it's still...
I think Batman's going to be so much more contained than we're expecting. Yeah. I think it's going to be an actual detective movie set within like five locations. I think it's going to be a tiny Arkham film with a bunch of villains and it's going to be like less CGI. I want it to be like Seven with Batman, man.
I feel like it's going to be the Riddler.
So you don't need to have post. Like as much post. You need post. You need to cut the movie.
Dailies
and that
eight hours. Just send out the cut.
So sometime in 2020, we're going to see what this costume looks like. That's what I know.
I'm very
excited. Maybe Comic-Con.
And the accessories.
I love DC's return. I want DC back at Comic-Con so bad. I've missed them.
But Joel Kinnaman.
So Joel Kinnaman says that the Suicide Squad feels like a comedy.
Oh.
I mean, James Gunn's and
Spears. Does that surprise anyone?
No.
So you've seen some of the set photos and things like that. What did you think of, like, the costumes and all that?
Flula looks great.
Flula looks amazing.
And, like, the casting of Flula and, like, David Asmalchin. The people in this movie imply a dark comedy. James Gunn implies a dark comedy. The Suicide Squad itself, we're going to lose people we care about immediately, which is going to be funny in a dark way.
Yes.
So, I hope it's a comedy.
Do you think Joel Kinnaman is one of those characters we're going to lose?
I think Joel Kinnaman wants to be.
I think so. I think this is going to be his way out.
And like,
I hate to say that, but Boomerang and Kinnaman are both going to get
out. I think Boomerang stays.
Really?
How much fun does that guy have playing that part?
So much.
He wants to be Aussie Wolverine.
I agree, but he is in that initial scene that we've seen with, I feel like, Nathan Fillion.
The way they set it up. I feel
Davidson.
Like,
I think it's a swerve. I think everyone from the original Suicide Squad goes except him. And then I think we lose a lot of the new folks.
Listen, I wouldn't be mad at that. I'm up for any surprises, you know, because we're going to be guessing at what is happening. And then ultimately you get to the day it opens and you hope you've been wrong. But
yeah,
that's the problem.
Every trailer is going to mislead us. Every image is going to be a bait and switch. James Gunn made us cry over, like, you know, a tree in the first movie. And he made us cry over Mary Poppins in the second. He does
that's
stuff.
That's true.
Like, he's manipulative emotions.
You think that it's going to go from, like, Rick Flag to White Flag?
Oh, 100%. And we're going to be weeping throughout. Like, it's, yeah. We're going to be laugh crying to, like, classic rock songs.
That sounds like a delight
to me. I'm so ready for Suicide Squad. Yeah.
You describing it like that is all I need.
James, I love you.
You know, well, one thing we do know is happening in 2022, I forgot, is Aquaman 2.
Yeah.
Not surprising anyone. Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who is in Watchmen.
Diving back in.
Yes, talked about diving back into Aquaman 2. Is that the least surprising bit of news you've ever heard? Like,
yeah,
did you think?
It's like...
Made a lot of money, making another one.
That
yeah,
makes sense.
Well, I mean,
assumed
the fact
the way
that Black Manta's
going to be. Yeah, it was like the way that it was set up.
And that's also the one character everybody was like, but more? Like, yeah. I feel like when he was gone, we were like, no. And then that's really rare for a villain to be like, but come back. So I would have taken a Black Manta movie after that performance because he was so interesting. Yeah, he only had limited screen time
with
the Mask.
It was very clearly a tease for this is coming back later.
Right.
But I guess it would be weird if they had Aquaman and then Black Manta and then they had Shazam and then Black Adam and then they had like, now we team up for the third and now we team up for the third and it's like, alright.
All these movies splitting and coming together. Like Batman and the Joker, but they don't meet. Black Manta and Aquaman, they do meet.
Ooh. Okay, guys, I think
one's
that's
in the sky and one's underwater. It's
that's
not
pretty
the same.
Much all we got for the movie news. We're going to slide over into another reality right now. We're going to go into Roxy Stryer's TV time.
It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV time. All the girls think Johnny's fine. Adam's cooking so divine. Also, Mike and Christmas time. DC Media News, it's time to talk.
Yes.
TV time.
Roxy's here with us. Indeed, Roxy's head you saw bouncing around. So anybody that wanted their Roxy Stryer fix, you got that right now. So what's happening in the world of TV? Well, we debuted a pretty big show this week. Watchmen debuted. I heard it was over 1.5 million viewers, which says a lot because that's like the first couple of days. And like, I don't even have HBO on a cable thing anymore. Like, I have like the app. And like, so the fact that many people tune in, that's huge numbers. So I guess just generally, Koi, I know you've seen 4 of them.
Yeah.
And spoke to Mr. Lindelof.
Yeah.
And I know you've seen 1.
Yeah, I'm like, am I turning green right now with envy? Have I just, like, as the green filter?
So first, Elena, let me hear from you. What did you think of that first episode? Should we let people know there will be spoilers so we can discuss this openly?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, guys, we're going to spoil the first episode because there is a pretty big spoiler that happens in it.
Even from the beginning.
I'll put the lights on red for...
Yeah, you basically just
and it's
have
Friday.
To
it's been almost a week.
We're talking Watchmen. If you haven't seen it, go.
It's
if
magic.
You don't have HBO, get your free trial. Make up a new email account. I don't care how you do it, but get that free trial and watch it.
I almost am like, wait until... And then get your free trial and just binge all of
that's
it if you're
like
not
so
going to watch it.
I don't
but,
know why everybody does
that. Multiple emails, guys. You can...
Multiple ways.
Look at you. We didn't say that.
So, what do you think?
Oh, my God. It was phenomenal. This is what I'm talking about. Like, TV shows like this... that go in and just completely blow everybody away. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that most people didn't even know that the Tulsa bombings were a real thing until Watchmen. And then it's like, this is where we see that our entertainment is giving us information and helping us in a way that our school systems have failed us, I feel, in many ways. And the fact that this is both educational, has a deep, deep... I mean, everything about it is perfect. I feel like from the very beginning to the very end, the very first scenes, the last, the cinematography, the incorporation.
It's not cinema. It's based on a comic. Sorry. Go on. Never mind.
Marvin.
But I feel like, you know, incorporating the animation, incorporating, you know, the opening scene with the silent film and the way that it's so brilliantly done and having... this come full circle. I mean, I'm not surprised because Legion was probably one of the best pilots I've ever seen in my life, and so Lindelof knows how to make a pilot, and we know this.
Wait, what did he have to do with Legion?
Didn't he work on Legion?
No, that was Noah Hawley.
Oh, you're right. That was Noah Hawley.
But that was also
on the same level.
Also
very comparative.
Similar where it's like, where the cinematography really is not just to look cool. It pushes the story forward. Yeah. Every element of it is intentional, and it's used to express something new. I mean, every time you watch the pilot again, yeah, you pick up something new.
I didn't think we'd ever get another Legion, and then Watchmen came out. So I completely agree with the assessment.
Yeah, because it's very...
cerebral.
Yeah.
What about the way, so you have to walk a really tight rope with this, because you have to introduce, this is a show that is not adapting a story, mm-hmm, and yet people that are not familiar with Watchmen are coming into it completely cold, unless they've seen the Zack Snyder movie. It's not really a sequel to that. It's mm-hmm more to the comic. So how do you think they dance on that line?
I think it's a show that if you watch Watchmen, you'll get something out of. If you've read Watchmen, you'll get a lot out of. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a show that can stand on its own because mm-hmm of how topical it is. It's a show that deals with a thing, like a massacre that occurred 100 years ago that people didn't know about because of the failings of our school system, mm-hmm, that informs a current problem through superheroes. So the reason I like superheroes is I feel like you're using a Trojan horse to bring important narratives to people that would otherwise ignore them. Right. So I've always read superheroes for the purpose of getting a moral compass, being a better person, seeing larger than life stories told that are real life.
Is this not the purpose of myth? That, mythology?
Exactly. Yeah. And I love feel that like use the Trojan horse analogy, because
like
it's
Greek myth. The gateway of comics is a Trojan horse of like, oh look, genre content. So I think Watchmen.
So meta, Coy.
I just, you know, Deadpool's my boy. So I think Watchmen is the best highbrow example of that, because it doesn't shirk the fact that it's intellectual. It doesn't shirk the fact that it's really smart. It doesn't try to be like, here's a linear path that mm-hmm goes like, deal with it. And I can say the second episode's even better than the first. I'm not going to say anything else about it. But I can say the show doesn't go bigger, it goes deeper and wider.
Ooh.
So the show only invests you further into Watchmen. It doesn't try to be a sequel. It doesn't try to get bigger. It makes you care more about the world that Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons invented. And Damon Lindelof being such a fan makes you feel how invested he is in the world. He's not trying to do anything new. He's trying to build out from that world.
Does it go, because you've seen more of it, does it kind of keep the same cinematography and the same incorporation of the sound design? Because the sound design
is
Atticus
Ross, Trent Reznor only gets better.
Okay. Like, see, because I was like, the sound design is so good in this that I can't even imagine how it could get better.
There's a score in episode 4 that I cannot wait to somehow procure to run to, because it made me like viscerally affected. Like I was watching it like,
so
I had to separate A from B,
right,
like
now.
The visual,
so
yeah, it was incredible. But it only gets the better, and I think that it's really important, like you were saying about educating people on something that is so important through entertainment and through media. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think the show is able to do, just like the Watchmen comic. The Watchmen comic was a book that people that said comics were for kids read. People that were like, these are just like 10 cent dime, blah, blah, blah. And that made people understand that comics are art. And I think this show has the potential to make people like your Marty Scorsese's understand the high concept level that Watchmen can be in television.
So mm-hmm does it explain why it precipitates Squid?
Because have you read the Watchmen comic?
Well, in the pilot, they explain it. Even
why
in the pilot, they
squid?
Explain it. Yes, because they say, do you think the interdimensional attacks are a myth from the government? It's part of the Rorschach when they're mm-hmm doing the grilling.
Cool,
yeah, it's so cool with the mirror face and everything.
So you
good
say they're from the government?
That's what's set up, is that in that one questioning, with that one question,
right,
he sets up, is this actually interdimensional attacks? Is that what the squid is? Or is this a conspiracy theory and the government is making this happen? So it already, in that one question,
that's
sets up this whole separate dynamic
of conspiracy theories in the modern day.
Exactly.
Because there's no information in this world. You guys notice there's no internet and there's no cell phones.
Yeah.
So all the information
like
is going to be linear.
But what's so smart, though, is this show doesn't hammer that home. If you didn't pick that up in the first episode, maybe you'll get it. And again, that's the difference between watching a show like this and a CW show that has to, because it's for a younger audience, I get it. It's just, I love this idea of, wait, why? Being off balance.
Yeah.
And knowing that the show knows what it's doing, having the confidence that it's not that the show doesn't know what it's doing, it's I'm not supposed to know these things yet. Mm-hmm. And I love that. We don't really know, we know Louis Gossett Jr., I'm assuming, is he was the child, not the baby, right? Because he had the nose to protect
the
child.
Yeah.
He was the child who protected the kid, but we still don't know what that means. Let's talk about Don Johnson briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Don Johnson,
incredible,
who delivering some of his, like, seeing his, like, comeback from, like, Eastbound and Down to, like,
God,
this.
God, I loved Eastbound and Down.
And he's just, like, the coolest
MF-er
again.
It's so crazy, though, he's, like, almost like the costumes are very similar, but the characters are so different.
So,
and it's the same. Like, I was like, you could literally
pop in here and be like.
So he's a cop that's not working.
Danny McBride walks by the back there.
He's not working with a mask, and obviously that.
Doesn't work out.
Which I love the commentary on in comics vigilantes hide behind a mask, which makes police uncomfortable because it's protecting their families. Now cops are doing it, so it's a commentary on a lot of things we're dealing with today through the commentary of comic books. It's life reflecting art back to life back to art.
And Regina King is a deep undercover cop that she has a separate cover job, but she's still fully a cop. She's not a vigilante. She's like a detective, but still a cop. Whoa, there's so much to unpack. It's such a...
Did you catch the Latin with the cop scene? They say who watches the Watchmen in Latin at the end of that speech.
Oh, no.
When, at the end when they all have the masks up, and then the last line of that is the Latin for who watches the Watchmen, then they all leave. So they even tie back into the world, the concept of vigilantism.
Have you checked out the PDpedia?
No, I haven't yet. I've heard amazing things.
Okay, so if you go to HBO.com/PDpedia, much like if you read the comics, there was a lot of text. I think most of it was from Under the Mask or Behind the Hood or whatever. Like one of the senior characters is like wrote a story about the Watchmen, and then it's like in each panel, each book of the comic, there's a lot of text that fills in the history of the world. So HBO is doing that. It fills in a lot of the stories of the world, what happened since the squid attacks, and like even like fiction. Oh, also like the original Watchmen appear in the first episode because there's a TV show that they're advertising, and Hooded Justice is there. I mean, all the Watchmen imagery is. I saw an article about how they use Easter eggs to really get the fans.
The book that is compiled from the things that you're describing at the end of the comics is on the desk in Ozymandias' office.
Oh my god!
So they even tie that in, and the splash at the end of the episode is one of my favorite pieces of imagery I've seen, like replicating a feeling. They capture that Watchmen blood splatter in a new way, and it reflects the show. Because to me, that's like, hey, this isn't your daddy's Watchmen. This is your daddy's Watchmen. Simultaneously, it's saying like, we know, but also look over here.
Let's talk about Jeremy Irons. So apparently, Jeremy Irons' scenes were all filmed before they started filming everything else.
Oh, wow.
Separately for this nine, because they filmed him in like Wales, I think. We think he is Ozymandias. I mean, that's what we're assuming. In the first episode, he's celebrating some anniversary. I'm assuming it's the squid attack anniversary when he saved the world. And he seems to have some servants with him. Are they robots? What do you think? Maybe don't tell me if you know. What do you think about those? His servants and him.
His creepy servants.
And his, like, eating naked and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, they're setting up, but there's something that's not quite right there. And they do it intentionally. I mean, even showing the watch that he gets as a present, the intricacies and the amount of skill that it would take for a person to put that together shows that this is something that's a little bit further than the realm that we're used to.
Yes, I agree.
Because they wouldn't have, you're a butler, so clearly you would know all the intricacies of putting together this watch that hasn't been used in years and years and years.
And the horseshoe.
Yeah, and the horseshoe, where he's like, this is a horseshoe.
One of my favorite moments. I'm like, what is happening?
So good. Would a knife be better? It's like, no, I'm only eating with a horseshoe from now on. Can you imagine eating your Lucky Charms with a horseshoe, and you pick up the horseshoe with the horseshoe? Magically delicious.
That is definitely meta. Lindelof has said that his story will match up, but probably not till later on.
Well,
so,
Adam, I was going to say, before the show aired, he put out a 5-page letter to the fans, just saying how much he, you know, how much he cares about this project on Instagram. I thought that was really heartfelt, and he like kind of brought up his dad on his deathbed, and his dad showed him the comic book. I thought it was really sincere.
Oh my god!
Can I take this moment to say? So the reason the name dropped in the opening. Damon Lindelof came on an episode of Comic Book Shopping. It drops Tuesday, so we went comic book shopping. And
it dropped Tuesday.
It comes out this upcoming.
Oh, so we haven't been able to watch it yet.
It comes out this Tuesday. So I'm giving you some insight.
This is great.
So what was really cool for me was he is an active weekly comic book goer. He hadn't been in the last 6 weeks because he's been promoting Watchmen. But it was really cool to talk to someone that's up to date on comics that's so invested. That he said Watchmen influenced every single piece of art he's ever made.
Wow.
Lost can thank Watchmen. The Leftovers can thank Watchmen. Star Trek thanks Watchmen. So he was saying how everything he's done has just been aping Watchmen. So now we get to actually play in that sandbox. And it was him finding out about the Tulsa massacre that made him realize he needed to tell that story through Watchmen and to get people to see it through that way. And he also straight up said, like, I'm a devout Alan Moore fan. If you're a fan of Alan Moore, don't watch my show because I'm doing a show that he would not want to exist, but I want to see it. And I was like, are you anti-commercialing on this? Like, he's just so invested in Watchmen that he was willing to say that. And I was like, Like, I just love Damon.
He gets it.
He's a good person.
He definitely gets it. And I was such a huge fan of The Leftovers and Lost, too. I mean, like, it's very controversial because all everyone can really talk about is, like, the last season, maybe, the ending. But, like, Lost was the last drama I watched on network television.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I can't think of one since then that has been compelling, like, water cooler TV talk since Lost.
What I love is that Watchmen got us to the point where comics today can be as highbrow as they are, but Lost got us Breaking Bad. Like, Lost got us Sopranos. So it's really cool that the man that gave us the show that changed TV was influenced by the comic that changed comics. And now we've got a show based on the comic.
Elena, what do you think about the fact that Lindelof has said that, A, this is going to be a complete story told in 9 episodes because that's what he liked about Watchmen, the comic, which, we all refer to it as a graphic novel, but don't forget, this was not a graphic novel. It was a monthly, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it came out, but it was over 1 year. And then also with that, if there is a season 2, he's not sure that he'd even be a part of it because it's not his material. So what do you think about those two things?
You know, honestly, I am not mad at it because I, again, like it when a director has a clear vision. Mm. And when somebody says, especially for something episodic, because, kind of going back to Legion, how it kind of fizzled out a little bit. Sure. I don't want to say that it did, but it's like clearly the vision that they had in place, they changed halfway through and it was evident. Whereas this one, if they are saying, as HBO often does, we basically have the entire concept from beginning to end. It's already been drafted out. We know exactly how it's going to end. That means that everything in it is specifically placed with this ending in mind. You're not going to have a Game of Thrones scenario where there's things that are brought up that aren't ever circled back. You're not going to have these loose ends. You're going to have everything as a cohesive story that doesn't just try to find its way as it goes.
Yeah, even though, like Game of Thrones, it's based on another author's work, right. It's not adapting any of that author's work. It's adapting his world, and it all takes place after it.
And he knows how it's going to end from the beginning, which means that how the pilot was so self-contained and how every moment in it tied into something else, and even, that very last second where we see the blood splatter onto the sheriff badge ties back to the very first shot. Like, it all comes back and then ties into the Watchmen. If this pilot is a representation of what the entire 8-episode run is going to be...
Nine. Eight more.
Then I am ecstatic to see the finale.
I agree, because I want to see, with how rich the world of Watchmen is, I'd love to see someone else that's a devout Watchmen fan do a something and set in the universe. So if they give me a season 2 and it's someone else that loves Watchmen making Watchmen, I would take that, especially if this feels like Damon wanted 9. Like, if he had a 9-hour movie in his head, I want to see that 9-hour movie. I don't want it to do well and then be like, come back, and he's like, nah.
I don't want it to turn into Lost.
Because he spent 10 years developing this 9 hours. I don't want him to spend a year developing another 9 hours and him not love it as much as he loves this.
Oh, yeah, the cop show. Mm-hmm. Right.
Which one?
One with Woody Harrelson and...
Oh, True Detective.
True Detective.
Yeah, season 1 is a masterpiece, and then the rest happened.
Yeah.
Season 3 picks back up, but season 2, what was that?
But it was that same kind of thing, where it was like the sophomore slump, the album. It's like, you have a band that's been around 6 years, they finally released their first album, it's like, then the following year, you need a whole... Now.
They've got one single instead of 9.
It's an unrealistic expectation. My gut is telling me, from just the way he's talked in interviews, he will be back for a second season.
You think so?
But I think if not necessarily in a year, I think this. If he decides to do another season, HBO, who has a history of doing this, will wait until he's ready.
Yeah.
This is why I'm glad that it's on HBO.
This is what they do.
Yeah.
Because they say we don't want to put out anything just to put it out. We want everything to be the highest quality.
It's truly home box office. Like, they live up to their name because they make cinema for
TV. It's not TV. It's HBO.
Yeah. And listen, I agree with you guys because I consider, whatever streamer I'm going to get, this and that, but HBO, I know there is a certain quality. Mm-hmm. HBO isn't putting up something for, like, they have a certain integrity, and I love it, and I love that they've maintained it for so long. I feel like he will be back for a second series because he hasn't closed it off. But I do also love the idea of other artists putting their spin on it. But then you have the problem of, like, all right, too much Watchmen. Like, there's only certain people who can really step up to the plate of the Watchmen.
Who watches the Watchmen? Who make the Watchmen?
Who watches the Watchmen? That's the question. Who watches the Watchers of the Watchmen?
Oh, my God.
We do.
We watch the Watchers, as evidenced by the
numbers.
20-minute diatribe.
We are running out of time. We have had so much fun today. I do briefly want to say CW shows are on right now. I'm trying to catch up. little bit of a struggle. I did watch Supergirl get her pants, which I do like that outfit a lot. Yeah. I will say that. But it's funny to talk about, like, the two different kinds, like, what is cinema, what is not. If Watchmen is, like, cinema, Titans is that, like, sweet, sugary cereal that I'm freaking loving right now, okay? Like, Titans feels like a comic book. It does. It feels, each one feels like a great comic. The world of Titans is so flushed out, the actual DC comic world we're living in. And I love this last episode. It was called Jericho. It just feels like how comics, you know, tell a big story, and then they're telling a lot of episodes that are going back and filling in the blanks about these characters. I talk about the show every week. I love it. It's like the kind of thing where it's like, it could be a lot of action or not. I'm just digging the world. I love the kid who's playing Robin, I think is awesome. I know we're going to get Nightwing. I can't wait for it to happen. It's going to make me squeal with geeky glee. Whether this show comes back on DC Universe or if everything else goes over to HBO Max, I can't wait to have more.
What did you think of that versus Doom Patrol? Because the reason I couldn't get so into Titans is because I love Doom Patrol so much.
I love Doom Patrol too, but they scratch totally different itches for me. And I'm glad they're not on at the same time. They both feel like they're of DC Universe, and just like Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing felt very like, mm-hmm. you know, it was like a horror version of that. And Doom Patrol is very much like, it's like a satire almost. You know, it's very satirical and smart. Titans doesn't try to be as cerebral, but it gives you great comic book storytelling and great action.
I also want to say that I'm really enjoying the fact that Titans, Doom Patrol, and Watchmen are all weekly, so we can have these event moments. Every Sunday is now Watchmen night, and that's actually why, like, I've got the first six, but I've only watched four, because I don't want to get too far ahead, because I like the experience of conversation. I love binge TV, but it's really nice to feel like, this to me feels like going to the comic store, because every Wednesday is a comic, every weekday is the show, like, it feels more...
So your favorite thing about Watchmen is the time?
God, and with that, I don't feel like we should try to get too much more in.
Yeah, I can't top that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Coy, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at COYJANDREAU. And Tuesday, David Lindelof on Comic Book Shopping Talking Watchmen. It was great.
He's Elena best. Jordan!
I can't wait to see it. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, ALANAJYRDAN, on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan, and you can catch me every week on MEA Worldwide interviewing your favorite celebrities.
Be sure to check out the rest of our DC movie news family, Roxy Stryer, Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski, Johnny LaQuasto at John Quasto, or Sir John Quasto, or Mademoiselle Quasto. I don't know, he's changed his name so many times. I'm Adam Gertler. We'll see you next time on DC Movie News.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.